From Chadwick Davis with the 1503, and I got grit.
I'm Joe Cadwell, the writer, producer, and host of Grit Northwest, and I'm pleased to introduce to you a new series within the podcast called Carpenter Stories. Carpenter Stories will introduce you to a variety of people within our craft and organization who have experienced transformative changes in their lives for the better after having found a career as a professional craftsperson. In today's episode, we will meet Chadwick Davis. Chadwick is a journey-level carpenter from the 1503 in Portland, Oregon. I first met Chadwick when he was a student at PNCI, the Pacific Northwest Carpenters Institute, where I'm employed as an instructor and apprentice coordinator. I was impressed by Chadwick's life story, his struggles with substance abuse, homelessness, and incarceration. I was even more impressed by how he faced these challenges head-on and overcame the harsh reality of a life spiraling out of control to become a husband, father, homeowner, and journeyman carpenter in the UBC. I feel these types of stories are important to share because they shine a light onto what belonging to an organized labor union can do. Collectively bargained wages, benefits, training, and representation provide the foundation and structure for people to build lives around and careers to be proud of. Those stories deserve to be heard. So sit back and listen to Chadwick Davis's Carpenter Story. Chadwick Davis, welcome to Carpenter Stories.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chadwick. Thank you so much for taking your time to be on the show. As you know, this is a new segment within the Grit Northwest podcast that is shining a light on people's lives that, for lack of a better term, were going down the wrong path before they found the Carpenters Union. And I met you originally in our OSHA class at the Pacific Northwest Carpenters Institute, where I teach. And I was really, really impressed with some of the struggles you had in your early life and how you've managed to turn your life around. And taking full advantage of all the benefits that a union member has. So I was hoping you could tell our listeners a little bit more about your story.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that, because it's important for me to share my story, because, you know, I really feel like I can maybe help other people, and it helps me build confidence. So thank you for this opportunity.
You bet. And Chadwick, so I understand early on, it sounds like you kind of were starting to go down a dark path. And did that start right out of high school?
Yeah, it started actually out of middle school. And so I had a really good childhood. I come from my parents, they're still married. Their parents married. I come from what you'd basically call the blue collar family, just kind of generation passed on through generation. I traveled a lot. My dad loves sailboats. He owns his own leasing company. So he would basically save his money and we would take trips, and he would rent sailboats. We would go Tahiti, all over, and we would sell sailboats. And had a really good childhood. Excelled in school. Actually used to have to take a bus from the middle school to the high school so they could accommodate, so I could take some classes there. And, but yeah, like you said, a dark path started. And, you know, you hear about the opioid crisis going on in the 2000s, and it was a real deal. And for me, it started with just a bottle that was in a cupboard. And I just knew it was Vicodin. My mom had a lot of them. They were in the cupboard, and I heard some kids talking about them at school, so I tried them one day. And I was probably about 13 years old, and I liked them. I didn't tell anyone I ever tried them. And I would just occasionally take them and still went to school and just living my life. Freshman year, I actually was the class treasurer freshman year. I ran to be class treasurer, got elected, and I was always in like the school skits and plays that they would do and stuff, and very involved. And but this addiction started, and then my mom had a really, really bad back injury, and she ended up to have to get surgery. And now all these other pills started showing up in the cupboard, And this is when my addiction really started to take off, because now I had access to these things that made me feel extremely good and gave me this confidence, I guess, that I felt like I didn't have without them. But this whole time, nobody has a clue what I'm doing. And I have no clue that what I'm doing to myself, that I'm getting myself physically addicted to these, that before I know it, I'm not going to be able to sleep, you know, without getting into my mom's pill cupboard as a 16-year-old. And now I can look back on it and realize that I was fully addicted at that young of an age. I finished high school. I did end up to graduate. My mom did catch on I was stealing her pills. She had to lock them up. We had a bunch of family problems. I left my house. I graduated high school living out of McCormick Park in St. Helens. I was homeless then at a very young age, but that was my decision. I didn't want to stop using. And so anyways, graduated high school with a very low GPA, and I had my first intervention and went to treatment, got out of treatment, and I went to culinary school. That was a good part of my life. Started going to culinary school, was living in Northwest Portland. And there was a homeless guy that I developed a relationship with, a friendship, not a relationship. And he was a heroin addict. And eventually I was having a bad day. I would see him on the max every day on the way to school and back. He would happen to be on the max. And eventually I was having a bad day, and I ended up to try heroin for the first time after getting out of treatment and being clean and going to culinary school. I don't know why. I don't know what got into me. And the homeless guy used my phone to call his dealer. And now I have the dealer's number. And so the next day I decided to do the same thing. And before I know it, I was a full-on heroin addict, going to culinary school, losing my apartment, lost my job I had, was about ready to be kicked out of school. But luckily, school was just ending. I had to go on my externship, and I went to Wyoming, middle of nowhere. I picked in Wyoming in the Grand Tetons. I went to Jackson Lake Lodge because I wanted to quit heroin. That's how I was going to do it. I was just going to detox my way there. I had my dad drive me. We went camping, just took our time, went camping for about 10 days on the way up there. And I got there, I started working, and things were going good. I finished my externship. I came back home. I graduated culinary school. And started to use heroin again, and found myself in prison at the age of, I think I was 23 at this time. And I went to prison, and when I was in prison, I ended up to get in a fight, and it was in the chow hall where everyone ate. And since it was in the chow hall, they said it was insinuating a riot is what, anyways, I got 100 days in the hole for that. So I was in solitary confinement for 100 days, and it was a whole summer. It was the summer also. And during this time in there, I had a lot of time to reflect on my life and what I wanted. And I just knew that I didn't want anything special. And I can remember, I'm not a very religious person, but there were nights where I was yelling at whoever was going to listen. And I can remember yelling that I just want to have a wife. I want to have kids. And for some reason, I wanted to be a construction worker, because that was something that I felt like I could do. I didn't need schooling. I knew they probably could get paid decent money, and I could probably have a normal life. So I get out of prison. And I meet my beautiful wife, Jasmine, and I start cooking again, working in a restaurant. That's what I know how to do. I got a culinary degree. We have a son, Ronan, and I'm still working in this restaurant. Now I'm the head cook. I'm making $14 an hour. That's the maximum they can pay me. And this ad comes on Facebook one night. I'm scrolling, and it was about a pre-hire class with the Carpenters Union. And so I seen people were commenting on there about it, and one person put the phone number of the Carpenters Union. So I put that in my phone, and the next morning I decided to give it a call, and I got scheduled for their next pre-hire class. I didn't tell my wife or nobody. I was really excited and went to this pre-hire class. And then after the pre-hire class, they told me, come to this interview. So I ended up to, tell my wife and my parents, I'm trying to get into the union. I think this is going to be, a better change. And I tell my work, and they get really scared, and that I was going to leave. And I was actually going to have a garnishment, and they try to make a contract with me that they would pay the rest of my garnishment if I would sign a contract that I would stay working there for, I forget exactly what it was. And anyways, I'm so glad I told them no. And so I ended up to start my apprenticeship. That interview, they told me I could get in, and I went to the apprenticeship. And next thing I know, I got a job with this company called Howard S. Wright, and they're paying me like $18 an hour. And I couldn't believe it. And I show up to work, and I'm wearing the Toolman Taylor tool belt, the one with just two pouches in front. I got this little hammer, not even a framer's hammer, just like the Fred Meyer $15 hammer. And my foreman just laughs at me. Oh, and I got the yellow, Bob the Builder hard hat on. And he just laughs at me. He was really nice, and he bought me a new pair of bags. He said, just take those off. People are going to make fun of you. Just don't wear those. Bought me a new pair of bags. They got me some nice pliers. They hooked me up. And, when I joined the union, I had no prior experience. I've never ran a skill saw. Maybe I've touched a drill to unscrew something here and there, but, I didn't have any experience, so everything was brand new to me.
We'll take this back just a bit, Chadwick, because, man, okay. what a fascinating backstory and history. It sounds like that random chance of scrolling in Facebook brought you into our organization, and the fact that you knew at some point that you wanted to join the union and get to be a carpenter is really random, to be honest. But you took that chance. And it seems like it's really worked out for you. If you were you found yourself in a dead end job, $14 an hour. I'm sure they weren't paying you benefits. There was probably no representation and no training associated with your job. So you took a chance and you went into the apprenticeship. And that apprenticeship took place at PNCI here in Portland.
Yes, at PNCI in Portland.
Chadwick, you didn't have any experience at all with carpentry. What drew you into considering a career as a carpenter?
What drew me into it was, for one, it was construction. And I really wanted to do construction because I had friends who had dads that were construction workers, and they just seemed like they made decent money, but their lives were pretty simple. It wasn't too complicated. And that's just kind of what I wanted. I didn't want anything too complicated. I just wanted to go to work and know that I could get a decent paycheck and know that, if my kids needed to go to the doctors, they can go to the doctors, stuff like that. When I was working at the restaurant, I did try to get medical care from them through the Obamacare, and it was going to cost me almost like $400 a week. And it was just like, couldn't even imagine, possible to pay.
So coming into the apprenticeship, starting off as a first term, you chose general carpentry, isn't that right?
Yes, I chose general carpentry. And, like I said, I just didn't have any experience. So I really, there, I didn't know what it, there wasn't really anything that caught my eye why I chose it more than just the pay scale, I guess, and it being a better paying job. And, you know, whatever I've tried in my life is, I was a really good addict before I was an addict. I was really good at everything I tried also. So I knew that, you know, and I was really good at being a cook. So I knew I could probably be really good at being a carpenter also if I, you know, just dedicated myself to it. And it's showing out that, you know, that is possible. Howard S. Wright has actually been a really good company to work for. It's the only company I've worked for. And in this 4 years, you know, it's, they've given me a lot of opportunities. I've felt like I've moved up with them. You know, this last August, I bought a house. That's something I had. Two kids and a wife in an upstairs apartment for over 5 years. You know, now they have a yard and they have a fireplace in their backyard. If I was still working as a cook, that wouldn't have happened.
That's great. And you also just journeyed out after completing the 4 year long apprenticeship program at PNCI. So congratulations on that. I assume you're still working with Howard S. Wright.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. We're actually, I'm working on the project downtown right now, the new Ritz-Carlton building. It's going to be the third largest or tallest building in Portland. So it's a pretty big project. And we're doing the architectural concrete there. And so it's a lot. I'm learning a lot. It's a lot of fun.
And now you're having a chance to probably do some mentoring for apprentices that are helping you out.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And yeah, it feels good. It goes from having no experience to, you know, 4 years later to being able to help people out. And, you know, also seeing these other people, you know, that just started that are having kids and making these same accomplishments I just got done having and knowing, you know, just it's a really neat thing that it seems I try to get so many people to join the union and it's like, they, I don't know why they don't. And it's just like, come on, like, dude, it's like, look at like, you've seen where I was. Like I'll talk to friends that it's like, you've seen where I was and now you see where I am, but you still choose to, you know, be back there. It's, I don't know.
It does seem like the union provided you a pathway for success through the apprenticeship program and offering you a career that allowed you to start a family, buy a house. I understand you just bought a new vehicle as well and really turn your life around. I mean, you had a really hard go from being a heroin addict, being homeless, spending time in incarceration, and taking your life and your skill and your talent and turning your life around and actually giving yourself a career that will bring you through the next 20 to 30 years providing for yourself and your family. That's admirable. So Chadwick, as someone who's definitely turned his life around by finding a career with the Carpenters Union, for our listeners, what would be the number one thing you found as the biggest challenge in the apprenticeship program or now as a journey level worker in the Carpenters?
You know, the biggest challenge is just the same challenges you would see anywhere. And that's just different people and personalities and communication.
And do you find that, you know, being someone who can communicate very, very easily and fluidly, do you find that's a benefit for yourself on the job?
It can be, yes.
And as far as picking up skills, how difficult was that? Again, you know, there are a lot of our listeners may not even be carpenters at this time. They may be considering a career in the trades, whether it's carpentry or iron workers, plumbers, electricians, to learn a new craft from scratch. How challenging was that for you?
You know, it was challenging, but I had some good mentors. That was one thing I was lucky that I had some people that were willing to teach me and show me and take the time. I think as long I was willing to listen and do what they say, which I think that's also very important because then they wanted to keep on teaching me. So I had really good mentors and So I was able to learn and pick up on things pretty quickly.
And speaking of mentors, what are some of the better attributes you can think of the people that helped you up along the way that they possessed?
Definitely patience. Some people don't pick up things as fast as other people. Some people might interpret things way differently than what you're saying, and you don't, you know, so just patience. You just got to have a little patience with people. People are different than you.
And where do you see yourself now, Chadwick, in the next 5 years?
No, I really see myself running work, hopefully for Howard S. Wright. I really like that company.
So, Chadwick, what do you think one of the better parts of being in an organized labor union like the UBC is?
Oh, definitely getting our new contracts every couple of years with adjusted wages, benefits. So, yeah, it's definitely got its benefits.
And do you find yourself being active within the union outside of your job site?
In ways, yes. I am a very big union advocator on my own, I guess. I would like to get more involved with other people, but I feel like I do my fair share on my own. There's probably a lot of people that are annoyed of hearing me talk about the union, but it's done such, you know, so much good in my life that I just want other people to be able to experience it. So I was like, sorry, like, go ahead, keep working at Domino's then, or like, whatever.
So you're an organizing army of one.
That's right.
Well, that's great. And so you mentioned now you have two kids and a wife. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. I got two kids, a four-year-old and a two-year-old. Four-year-old's a boy, two-year-old's a daughter, and she's the dictator of the family. And then, yes, got a beautiful wife. We actually dated in high school, and then she broke up with me because of my addiction. And then when I got out of prison, we got back together. So it's it's kind of a neat story.
And your kids are going to grow up in a union household. What does your wife do?
She stay-at-home mom, which, you know, that's awesome that we can afford to have her do that. And we did struggle at the beginning of the apprenticeship, but she was still able to stay at home, and we still paid all of our bills through the whole time. And now she's still a stay-at-home mom, and we bought a house, just got a new car.
So Chadwick, knowing that a lot of our listeners right now may be considering a career in the trades, what would you say the number one attribute that they would need to bring to their career choice in order to be successful?
Reliability, and you need to be willing to learn and to listen, but you definitely got to be reliable. People need to be able to rely on you.
That's for sure. I've found that over my career that the people that show up with the best attitudes are the ones that typically stay around the longest on a particular project and are the first ones to be picked up for the next project down the line.
Yes, absolutely.
So Chadwick, do you have any struggles now with any of your addictions, or are you in any type of counseling group or supportive group?
Yeah, I still go to a counseling. I have a counselor that I talk to, but no, I've been clean now for 5 years. I don't even know alcohol. You know, I just live the clean, sober, boring lifestyle.
Well, that's great. So Chadwick Davis, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for taking your time. I really appreciate being able to talk with you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you around PNCI, maybe in some of the continuing education classes.
Thank you, Joe.
Our guest today has been Chadwick Davis, journeyman carpenter from the 1503. If you or someone you know has a story worth sharing, send an email to gritnw@gmail.com. I look forward to bringing this series to you on a regular basis, so please feel free to email me your story of positive change brought upon by deciding to become a professional craftsperson. Grit Northwest is a proud member of the Labor Radio Podcast Network. For more labor and union-specific shows, visit laborradionetwork.org. And if you still haven't joined Grit Nation, it's easy to do. Just follow the hyperlink in any of the episode show notes. you will be entered to win an official Hi-Viz I've Got Grit t-shirt when you do. And because it's the holiday season, if you join before midnight December 31st, 2020, you will be entered to win a special drawing for listeners of this episode. Be sure to click the Carpenter Stories tab when signing up. Well, that wraps up this episode. Till next time, this is Joe Cadwell reminding you to work safe, work smart, and stay union strong.